Word Freak. That spring day in 1978, when I first completed an entire Sunday New York Times crossword, was a watershed moment. I finally felt that I could confidently call myself a cruciverbalist. Since then, the Sunday Times crossword has become a weekly ritual, supplemented with crossword anthologies for long plane rides and vacations. The achievement in 1978 is more meaningful than today, simply because there were no resources to look up obscure words. All that might be available was an outdated set of the World Book Encyclopedia, a Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, a Roget's Thesaurus, or maybe a friend who is really good at sports trivia or Greek mythology. Now, the internet makes puzzles pathetically easy to solve. You can just type the clue into Google, or some crackerjack puzzle solver will post the answers the same day the puzzle is published. However, I consider it a point of honor to resort to the internet in only the most dire situations when all other attempts have been exhausted. But I also think that the clues have gotten more difficult for the same reason. There are software programs that will automatically provide the fill for the puzzle between the key longer words. The puzzle creator of yore would simply not know the 1952 nominee for Best Oscar, or the first name of a Liberian dictator. I assume the puzzle creator is also relying on the internet. So I've concluded that there's no shame in seeking help solving these ridiculously obscure references, although the unaided effort is always more satisfying. Over the years, I've developed a very specialized vocabulary of obscure words. These obscure words tend to have the letter E in them, since this is the most common vowel in the English language. I remember one crossword tour de force that distinguished itself by only using the letter E throughout, which only became apparent about halfway through the puzzle. So for those of you embarking on a career in cruciverbalism, here's a smattering of key vocabulary. I can assure you, you will never use these words conversationally, unless, of course, you're lucky enough to be a guest of honor at a crossword convention. Etui, E-T-U-I, a decorated needle case. I would actually like to own an etui. I'm constantly losing sewing needles. Even though I don't really sew, occasionally there's a button or two where it would be handy. Any store selling such a necessity has long since closed locally, requiring an annoying trip to a big box craft store at the mall. Ewer, E-W-E-R, a pitcher of water. A ewer seems to best describe the picture of water specifically at the bedside, as in Vermeer's painting, or perhaps that pitcher that is used for a sponge bath, as depicted by Mary Cassatt. Unfortunately, it does not seem to describe the water pitcher you might routinely use to fill your dinner guests' water glasses, in which case you could use this word routinely. Aglet, A-G-L-E-T, those little plastic or metal thingies on the ends of shoelaces. The aglet made a major contribution to footwear. A shoelace without an aglet is useless, and I am glad I secretly know the name of this critical item, but in public I generally just refer to them as those thingies. I would also recommend that you bone up on quasi-famous people who have lots of E's in their names. Some of the regulars include R. E. Lee, i.e. the Confederate general. The clue to this one often involves an oblique reference to the Civil War, such as visitor to Appomattox, or Davis's general, referring to the more obscure Jefferson Davis. Erte, E-R-T-E, an Art Deco designer. I have come to know Erte well through crossword puzzles. He apparently designed all sorts of clothes, and if there's a four-letter word for scarf designer, it's always Erte. Eero, E-E-R-O, architect and furniture designer. His last name is Saarinen, and he is most famous for designing the tulip chair and the St. Louis Arch. His father was also an architect whose first name was Eli, E-L-I-E-L, but even though this name also has two E's in it, I have never seen him in a crossword. Crossword puzzles occasionally lapse into foreign languages, but my rudimentary high school French, Spanish, and Latin have all been adequate. All I really have to remember are the numbers and maybe a few colors. You will occasionally come across ne, N-E-E, which is a French word referring to a maiden name, or an épée, E-P-E-E, which is the sword used in fencing. Don't panic when the clue refers to Latin, because the answer is almost always amo, amas, or amat, referring to the verb love. Clues alluding to Caesar's last words are usually etu, E-T-T-U, referring to et tu, Brute. But don't confuse etu with atu, A-T-T-U, the westernmost Aleutian island. The nifty piece of trivia here is that in World War II, this rocky outpost hosted the only U.S. land battle between Japan and the U.S. My German is non-existent, and I rely on Nick's high school German for anything other than ein or dry. Forget zwei, Z-W-E-I, since that Z makes it an unlikely crossword word. Nick always yelps in protest when I ask for assistance, since his high school German was a token and dismal failure. He tends to be more helpful if I ask about cars or business, and sometimes I ask him what Big Blue is, even though I'm pretty sure that is IBM. A little bit of World War II history is also helpful, again focusing on words that contain E's. Essen, E-S-S-E-N, often pops up as the German industrial center in the Ruhr Valley. A more obscure clue refers to the Krupp Works, the Nazi armament center located there. Hitler's architect just has to be Speer, S-P-E-E-R, again with the E's, who ended up organizing the slave labor in Essen. The corollary to obscure words are obscure clues. In fact, the degree of difficulty of a crossword puzzle is mostly related to the creativity of the clues. One of the most common tricks is the decoy. Several times I've seen the clue French bread, and the novice will take the clue literally and think along the lines of baguette, or the French word for bread, pan, P-A-I-N. But the experienced solver will go one step further and realize that the word bread is actually referring to money. So the answer is either euro, franc, sou, or écu. Along a similar vein, the clue nice summer is actually referring to the town of Nice, and the answer is été, E-T-E, the French word for summer. Another unexpected use of a word is the clue hardy girl, which does not refer to female pluck or vigor. The answer is always Tess, the heroine in Thomas Hardy's novel Tess of the D'Urbervilles. How about the clue van trailer? The first instinct is to think of some sort of vehicle, but what trailer really refers to is a suffix to the word van. The answer is Essa, E-S-S-A, to form the word Vanessa. In last week's crossword, I struggled with the clue garage opener, which had me thinking along the lines of a clicker. It certainly looked like the word ended in D-G, which seemed impossible. Finally, I realized the answer was hard G, referring to the phonetics of the first letter of the word garage. Then there is the bad pun as a clue. Recently, the answer to egg drop was not Chinese soup, but ovulation. Nick finds these contrivances unbearable, but creative clue are a necessity to fill in around the main theme of the puzzle, which is often suggested by the title. These themes are always clever, and there is a very satisfying aha moment when you crack the theme. A recent puzzle was titled You Are Here, and it turned out the letters U and R were added to common expressions. The clue protection in the city, after much effort, became urban deodorant, which involved adding a UR in front of band deodorant. Once I got the trick, the rest of the puzzle fell into place. The clue traditional brain doctor adds UR to neoconservative to make neuroconservative, and the clue schedule at Vegas Chapel turned holy matrimony into hourly matrimony. Someday I'd like to create a crossword puzzle, and I have my theme all ready. It would be titled R.I.P., perhaps published on Memorial Day, and would contain various idioms for death, clued as follows. Florist style. Answer, pushing up daisies. Gangster style. Answer, wear a cement overcoat. Agrarian style. Answer, bought the farm. Marine biologist style. Sleep with the fishes. Narcoleptic style. Take a dirt nap. Thermometer style, assume room temperature.